All right, you guys ready? That's us, I know. It's like. Oh, man. All right. We're going to finish up Jude today. The little letter of Jude. We'll get it finished. The subject is winning souls. And I know that shows up, that phrase shows up once in the Bible, but it certainly is a prominent theme in the Bible of translating a soul from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to holiness, conversion from wickedness to righteousness. I mean, that's definitely a theme in the Bible. That's pretty much all the way through. So the phrase soul winning shows up in Proverbs, but Jude mentions it as an element of contending for the faith here. And the last thing he says, Jude verse 22, Jude 22, he says, "And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." All right, so you got compassion and then more direct fear. And so there's a balance and dealing with folks like it's a balance. It's there's some folks, the difference maker is compassion. Some folks, the difference maker is being scared. And so there's this, if you imagine, there's some distance between them trusting Jesus Christ and trusting the words of God. Sometimes that difference is compassion. Sometimes that difference is fear. And so you got to be able to have both. And notice, just a reminder, Jude is not written to pastors. It's not like, you know, talking to Timothy or anything like that. He's just talking to, like he said at the beginning, those that are sanctified by the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ. So it's a general letter to Christians, not just like, you know, somebody in a pastor position. So that said, let's pray. And I got a few notes here. I don't have many, but that may not mean anything. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it means. But let's pray, and we'll talk about winning souls. Father, I thank you for these words. I do pray that you'd help us this morning. It's one of the themes throughout the Bible, really, and really we could find it in every single book of the Bible, but we're focusing on a few verses today. I pray that you'd help us with what we're looking at, and those that are watching, those that are sick at home, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies. For Alan, who just can't get over this fever, pray that you'd help him, give him strength in his body, help him. For Jeff, who's still recovering from open heart surgery, that you'd give him grace, and Beth grace, and just a quick recovery and the right physical therapy and therapy that helps them recover quickly. And then others that are sick, Lord, I pray that you'd just help folks that are sick, and then those that are maybe traveling, you give them safety as they travel. And for the teachers in the back, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'll tell you where the phrase shows up, the soul winning phrase. It's in Proverbs 11:30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise," which is true. If there can be a convincing life or argument or conversation with someone, or many conversations with someone, to convince them of righteousness, convince them of Jesus Christ, convince them of light and things like that, and And to successfully move someone from darkness into light, that's certainly a wise thing. And James says it this way. He says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." So certainly that takes time, that takes wisdom, that takes, I think sometimes, I don't want to say confidence, but it's just, I think fear can be a big factor why we don't talk to more people about the Lord. We just don't feel confident to say the right thing sometimes, and that's part of studying the Bible. That's part of being able to make a real, I don't say convincing argument. I mean, Paul was alleging and all that kind of stuff when he go into the synagogues, but it is part of making a convincing argument and discussing with folks and preaching to folks and teaching folks and things like that. So takes wisdom, and so this command, like I said, it's not just for pastors. When he says, "Of some have compassion, making a difference; others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire," that's just, you're dealing with two different groups of people, and so it's a balance. I'll give you a proverb here. There's a proverb that says, "Answer a fool according to his folly." And then there's a proverb right after that that says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly." So context, application with a situation, that's important. He'll say, for instance, "Answer a fool according to his folly," or "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him." And then in the very next verse, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." So I point that out because Jude points out two opposites. It's like you can either, you show compassion and that successfully deals with the situation and the person, or you are very direct and scare them, and that also can be a successful conversion and pointing them in the right direction and helping them that way. So that said, let's deal with the first one, compassion. Compassion. "Of some have compassion, making a difference." Compassion. What is compassion? What does that mean? When you hear the word compassion, what does that mean? Concern.
Mercy.
What did you say?
Caring.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy. It can be manifest in physical meeting of needs. It can also be just an attitude that you have, you know, that you're going to approach them in a caring way and empathize with the situation and empathize with them. In fact, I think it's defined as leniency, patience, moving slow as opposed to a more direct and harsh warning in the next verse, but leniency kind of and empathy. So you understand what it means. And Jude says sometimes that's the difference maker. That's what it takes, somebody to be shown some compassion, and then they see that, and it's like, that's what I needed to see. That I believe what you're saying now. I believe in Jesus Christ. What you've preached to me now is now real to me. And so sometimes it's compassion. Look in 2 Timothy. I'll give you a little cross-reference to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 24. This is... I don't know, there just seems to be so much, people are so argumentative and defensive, you know? Thanks, example. Not me, no. Oh, but I mean, it's like the spirit of, I don't know if it's always been this, it doesn't seem like it's always been this way, but it just is more and more contentious, and this attitude is less and less available, it seems like. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach." There you go. That's good. "Patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So that's a pretty good description. Attitude of gentleness, be gentle unto all men. You understand what that approach is. Apt to teach, that may be a little bit more tricky. I think sometimes, honestly, that's the breakdown in our Christianity, in our relationship with the Lord. It's like you don't know what to say or what you're supposed to say, and you don't feel confident pointing out things in the Bible or applying the Bible in other people's lives or trying to help them see things that are true. And so it's consequently you just don't say anything at all because you're just not confident to say anything. And that goes back to that 1 Timothy, maybe it's 2 Timothy, but he talks about study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, I've done this before, where you come back from a conversation and you're like, man, I should have said that, or I should have said this, which may be true and maybe not. Maybe you should have said it, maybe you shouldn't have. But when you get in the situation where you feel inadequate, like I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, or hey, I need you to come talk to my preacher because I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's some validity to that sometimes, but also as a servant of God, that's something you ought to be equipped enough to be able to explain and converse and preach and teach biblically with folks you know, neighbors and things like that, and have real, meaningful conversations about the Bible, about Jesus Christ and things like that. And so that can be a place where we fall short. Just, maybe the gentle spirit is there, but the apt to teach is just not there. I couldn't lead you from one place to another. I don't know how to do that. Granted, that can be a gift of the Spirit, teaching for sure in congregational settings and things like that, but just interactions with friends and neighbors and family members and things like that, apt to teach is that's sort of what Jude is saying. You approach somebody with compassion, and that can either be a physical gift, giving, helping, or it can be an attitude of how you're going to deal with them. But he says gentle, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, which can be difficult because when people oppose themselves, a lot of times they're very defensive about where they're at, and it's tough to get in there and work with them. Sometimes they don't even want to give you an opening. When I read some of these things, I think about, he's not here today, but I wanted to mention it. Renee got saved the other day. I don't know if y'all know who Renee is. But I was going to get, Josh was talking to him for hours on multiple days. Saturday, this has been a couple weeks ago. Saturday talks to him for hours. And he'd already been, he'd come to church a few times. I know Marcy had talked to him. Other folks had talked to him. But to be able to open the Bible and go through and say, this is salvation, this is what righteousness is, this is what you need. And then I remember you guys said he came to church, it's been a couple weeks ago, but he came to church that Sunday, right after church, called Josh again, said, I need to talk to you. And then went over to his house for another several hours. And that's what it takes sometimes. It just takes that much time. It just takes, especially it seems like these days, there's so much contrary information and so much just bad spirit out there. And you got to work through all that stuff and get someone to be receptive to what they're hearing. And not everybody's going to be that way. But if they are, once they're receptive, you ought to be able to move them from one place to another and show them enough Bible, show them enough light that you instructed them. That's what Jesus Christ said at the end of Matthew, where he says, tells the apostles, go forth, and he says, teaching all nations whatsoever things I have commanded, teaching them. Like, that's the job of the servant of God, to teach all nations, to be able to instruct in the things of God. Just like Israel was given the law from Mount Sinai, they're going to be a light. They're supposed to be a light of a nation to other nations, and so they would be the instructors of other nations. Well, now, I mean, if you're saved, you are a part of that light. You're a part of Jesus Christ's kingdom. You're a part of turning from darkness into light, and so you have you're an ambassador now, someone who is to teach the nations now. So that's what Jude says. And he says, this is just part of contending for the faith. This is just part of what you're supposed to be doing. And one aspect of that, one side of the coin, is compassion. You show compassion, you approach with a gentle spirit. That has a variety of applications, whether it's just the approach or whether it's actual meeting physical needs and things like that. But it says, be compassionate. Be compassionate. I think you get the idea. There are literally so many verses on soul winning and the conversion of souls and things like that, because it really is a theme of the Bible. So let's go back over here to Jude. We dealt with the compassion part of it a little bit here. Back over here in Jude, if some have compassion, making a difference. That was verse 22. If some have compassion, making a difference, which means patience and leniency and not a bad spirit, not defensive, and really sometimes you gotta let people talk. You gotta listen. I mean, if people don't think you're listening, they're not listening to you. They're not interested in what you're saying. And so sometimes it takes that approach. Other times it takes a more direct approach. Other times, he says, some have compassion, making a difference, verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I'll give you a cross reference to this spot. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. Give you a little cross reference. The garment spotted by flesh. Spotted by the flesh. Earlier he had said, Jude had said, these are spots in your feasts. They're just areas of carnality. Ephesians 5:27. Here's a reference to spots. Ephesians 5 and verse 27 says that he might present it to himself, Jesus Christ presenting his bride to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, there's a spot, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So that is holiness. It's holiness. It's not carnality. It's spirituality. It's you get the idea of what it is. Leprosy is a good type of all this stuff in the Old Testament, but you understand what the spot is. It's sin. It's the stain of sin in the flesh. It's carnality. It's the thing that really moves people to unbelief most of the time. So he says this: others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I remember when I got saved, it was because of this. It was fear. That was why I got saved. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew what that meant, and I was scared. I was scared of that. I was scared of God's judgment. I was scared of dying. I was scared of hell. I was scared of fire. I was scared of it. And so when I got saved, it was because of being afraid. Somebody says, well, that's not, you know, that's, I mean, it doesn't really, I don't care what they say, but yeah. They say, well, that's not a good reason. You know, you preach hellfire. It's like, well, yeah, that's what it takes sometimes. It just takes an understanding of the reality of the situation, that you're not exactly what you think you are with God. And so it was fear, and that probably has had some effect on I don't know, my Christianity, I'm sure. Others, because I can't necessarily relate to the compassion thing. I don't know what that, you know, I didn't get saved by someone showing me love. I got saved because I was scared. That's how I got saved. And so you can make a case that I was loving to share the gospel, but that's not the way it worked. So others, it takes more direct confrontation, a real direct fear, scared of hell. Understanding your sin, understanding that your sin makes God mad, understanding that God is not just, you know, sort of open arms and accepting of everything you do just because you're you, but he has judgment. He actually has judgments, and he actually has clear direction, and he actually has commandments. And he actually says things that mean things. And when he says something, he means it. When he says don't commit adultery, he means that. When he says don't lie, he means that. So those are things he's not pleased with. And sometimes it takes that. Look in Titus. I'll give you a cross-reference to this. Titus chapter 1. And verse 9. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That just means Jews, the circumcision. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, Here's the opposite, I guess, or the other end of, instead of compassion, he says, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. There you go. That's the other side of the spectrum, where you deal with something harshly, and just because you have to. I remember Paul. And this wasn't a salvation matter. It was Paul when he dealt with Peter, because Peter was such a public figure. And when he was causing, I don't know, confusion among the converts, the new converts, because he was treating the Gentiles a certain way and then treating the Jews a different way and acting a different way around the Jews. And Paul got onto him for it. It's like, that's not right. You're confusing people. You're making people confused about the matter of a common salvation here. And you're leading people astray. And so Paul, he says he dealt with them to his face. I mean, it's like, we can't deal with this through a text message. I need to talk to you about this, and I need to tell you that this is a problem. And that wasn't a salvation issue. It was just dealing with and instructing somebody in a more direct way. And sometimes it takes that. It takes a strong rebuke. And in Jude's case, he's definitely talking about saving somebody out of a fire. That's salvation. That's a deliverance from the wrath of God. But sometimes it takes that fear and understanding hell and understanding God's judgment and understanding God's wrath on the matter. And so you've got to balance, and that really sums up a lot of the Christian life is balance. It's be compassionate here, be direct here. Sometimes it's like Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to handle this situation, I know how to handle this situation. And that's really Christian life. It's not like, you know, if you serve God, you're going to be rich, and so you should always look for the riches and things like that. It's not true. Christianity is more of a balance. It's more of being able to handle all situations, being content with all things and those kinds of things, and being able to stabilize and address situations and people as they need to be addressed. And that's spiritual. That's a spiritual matter. And so Jude gives both sides of it. Be compassionate, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So with that said, I got one more verse to look at. And so we're wrapping it up. But I want to give you guys a chance to comment on some of this stuff. What do y'all have any thoughts on the compassion or the direct approach to men's souls? What do y'all got any thoughts on it? No? Well, and that's like that apt to teach. It's like apt to teach. Like I know where you're at. I know where you need to be. And I know the disconnect, but I got to get you to understand the disconnect.
And I think in the situation like that somebody who has biblical knowledge over the red, I think compassion and stuff like that, those are people who are like in fear, like fresh new people who haven't really delved into the Bible to get either confused by someone. You don't understand that you always just call me a blank slate.
I mean, she wasn't religious. Like, she wasn't like had this deeply really religious background or anything.
Yeah. So I think you can do the fear and
Patience, that's it. Yeah.
Like what you said, spirit with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was spirit with me. See, I was in church for a long time. And I've been years and years and years, and I thought I was okay. I thought I was saved. And then one day the Lord dealt with me and told me that I was going to go to hell. You know, I felt it in my spirit. And it was fear. And I that's when I'm really.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Studied it. And see, with compassion, I thought I was saved, but I never really dug into it. And it was fear, like with what you said, with me.
Yeah, that's.
It really got me into getting into the Bible and searching it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Right. You empathize, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
And it don't matter how much you work with them, some people are just going to be that way.
And that's true. In fact, probably most people will be are that way. Yeah. Yeah, some people, it's...
You work with the one, you try to work with them, and if you see you're making progress, keep working, but some people, it's not going to be...
Yeah, that's right. I heard a preacher say, because the question was, is among preachers, but it's what you're saying, Tony. The question was, you know, there's so many things you can put your time and effort into. So where do you put your time and effort? Right. And so the most beneficial places to put time and effort is in people who are responsive. That's the most beneficial. And then if there's other times, then it's, you know, like you said, I mean, you can really beat your head against the wall trying to get somebody to come to terms with something, and they're just not going to come to terms with it. They will not hear it. So it's Yeah, it is. And what you said, Catherine, sometimes it's not you, and so you have to realize, I mean, that's a good thing to realize, is like, this is not, I'm not going to be the one to be, I don't have the entrance into this person's life to be able to convince them of what they need to be convinced. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, some ministries are seed planting, some are watering, some are harvesting. It's like you meet all, yeah. It's all sorts of the spectrum there, and you would probably say if you're saved, you probably didn't hear the gospel one time. I've heard people say that's the only time I ever heard the gospel. That's probably not true. That's probably the first time you listen to it. It might be the first time you listen to it, but it's probably not true that the first time you ever heard it. But you can probably see if in your decision to trust Christ a process of, okay, I need to consider this. I know I'm a sinner. I know when I trusted Jesus Christ, it was like I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. And that didn't immediately change me into a Christian. It's like I had to wrestle with this. I have to wrestle with this And then I have to see where's the salvation? Where do I get salvation from? Well, that's in Jesus Christ. Well, do I trust Jesus Christ? Am I going to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, that's a process. And I don't want to say when you eternal life is something God gives you, but getting to that point of receiving eternal life is a process, and it can be a long process, it can be a short process, but it's more than just you heard the gospel one time and you're on board with it completely, because it's life changing. And some people, I think, like Tony said, I think the world sometimes has a better perspective of Christianity than Christians do, because they'll say things like, if I trust Christ, I have to stop doing this. Well, that's a good attitude to have, because it's not going to save you, but it's a good attitude to have, because yes, this stuff that you're doing, God is not approving of it. He does not approve of it. And so the world says things like, well, if I get saved, I'm going to have to stop drinking. Well, that's not getting saved, but that's a good idea. That's good. If you would do that, that would be good if you weren't getting drunk as a saved soul. So, this thought process and this, it takes time. It takes being apt to teach. It takes gentleness. It takes patience. Sometimes it takes directness, which I think that can be another obstacle, is where we don't want to be direct because you don't want to scare people away. Some people don't have any trouble being direct, but some people do. Some people, they don't want to be direct because they just think they're going to scare people away. And go ahead, Michelle. Right. Right. Yeah, it is. And what you said is a good point. It's knowing which direction to go. And Jude is not talking to two different people here who have different personalities. Well, this person's compassionate and this person's direct. Well, that can be true, that one person is more gentle, but you're supposed to contain all of that in yourself. The ability to be gentle, the ability to be direct, all that's supposed to be in you, and be able to address souls the way they need to be addressed. And that's what Jude's dealing with. Some have compassion, making difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So that whole balance. I'll take you to this last verse here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what Paul did. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." There's winning. That's the idea. Winning souls. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." That would just be heathen. That's just Gentiles, all he's talking about. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So it's kind of like Tony said, there's going to be some, but there may not be a whole lot. But there's going to be some that you spend time with and you identify with, and like Billy said, you empathize with. Paul said, "I became a Jew to the Jews, I became a..." As not under the law to those that are not under the law, and I became weak as to those that are weak. And so I empathized with their situation. I didn't make things that were unnecessary. I didn't make them issues that were unnecessary. And I just dealt with the gospel, and I dealt with what needed to be dealt with. And so it eliminated all these extra curricular things in order to focus on what was important in their lives. So I empathized with their situation. And so it looks like he just sort of mirrors the situation that he's in. And I think, like Michelle said, when you're dealing with, and I don't know, maybe y'all can think about this or correct me on this, but this is discussing Paul kind of mirroring the situation he's in. I don't know if that's necessarily true with individuals and their attitudes. Like you can find a very direct, harsh person and then be compassionate to them, and that will change, because they're being direct and harsh because of some pain or something. And then for someone to show them compassion, that's the difference maker. And so I don't necessarily say you mirror the situation, because that's not necessarily true, although Paul did in certain circumstances, just to eliminate all this other stuff that would be brought up and didn't need to be brought up. So there's a way to know, I guess, when to use which method, and that's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. It's not like a blank, you know, if A equals X, then you do this, and if, you know, B equals Y, then you do this. It's like you got to deal with people, and that takes time, and that takes patience, and that takes listening, and that takes learning, and things like that. And that's why I'll say this lastly. I think having a program to go through Romans Road or something like that can be helpful, but it can also be very limiting. And what I mean by that is, when I started learning how to talk to people about the Lord, you know, we had Romans Road, and it's like you're trying to get them to just read this verse. And in that struggle to get them to just, hey, I want you to, here's point A, here's point B, here's point C, here's point D, here's point E, now let's pray a prayer, that kind of thing, you're not listening to where they are. You have no idea where they're coming from. And they need, people need, you know, they need to be heard. They need you to listen, particularly when you're talking about life-changing things and life-altering decisions. And so listening to where they're at, that can help. That is a help. And that will help determine, okay, do I need to be direct? Do I need to be compassionate? Where are they at? Where are they coming from? So I think you understand that's pretty basic stuff. But Jude just covers the whole spectrum there. Either be compassionate, be direct, but it's all about the conversion of souls. It's all about bringing someone from darkness to light, from death to life, and those things. So that said, anything else you want to add to this? All right, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. Just finish up Jude here and see what the last element that he mentions as contending for the faith. This is part of our contending for the faith. And so I pray that you'd help us apply it where it needs to be applied. And I thank you again for each soul that's here. And for those that are sick, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies, particularly Alan, still just running fever daily. It's a little bit scary. And then Jeff, who's recovering from open heart surgery, pray that you'd help him and give him grace in that. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.